Hello and welcome to the St. Andrean Life, the podcast Everything St. Andrews. This is the very first podcast, and the topic is something that's very close to a lot of people in this community. Mr. Lindsay Brown is leaving St. Andrew's School after 30 years to teach at another school in New Hampshire. He has impacted many people's lives. He's been a coach, an advisor, a teacher, a mentor, and most likely much more. When Liam O'Connell talked to Mr. Brown about leaving and the experience and how he feels about it, he realized that the hardest thing was not actually oriented around the future and being nervous about what's going to happen, but actually more about the past.
If you look around my room where we are now, you'll notice that the pictures are off the board, the bookshelves are thinned out as I plucked out the books I wanted to take for myself.
Yeah.
The pictures that were on the wall are gone. There's some physical reminders that I am, in fact, leaving.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm in the process of packing. I was working on that this morning, and that's a challenge. Yeah. Just taking a life you've had for 30 years and putting it in boxes is hard, and I get distracted all the time. I pick up a photograph, and then I just look at the photograph and remember that, and I'm 5 minutes later, I put that photograph in the box, and then it's onto the next one. So it's not a very efficient process sometimes.
What kind of photographs?
I had on my back wall photos of my family when we were all younger. So I see my children from 10, 15, 20 years ago. That brings back memories. I had photographs of advisory groups. So I just gave a photo to Mr. Robinson, Will Robb, of him as a senior in my apartment with me, and he was one of four seniors in my advisory that were graduating in 1997. So there's a photo of me with that group, arms around each other, and we were realizing as we looked at that photo that I'm older now than, I'm sorry, Will Robinson is older now than I was in that photo.
Huh.
So that was the sort of he was actually in the room, and as I gave him this photo to remember that moment, because I had a fun time looking at it, and I passed it on to him.
We followed up with Will Robinson about the picture that Mr. Brown gave him. So can you just tell me what was in the photo and who?
Yeah, so it's a photo of my senior year with Mr. Brown. It's with four of his senior advisees. It's me, Simon Saddleton, and Payne Miller, both were rowers, and Amal Parikh.
Okay.
Do you want to say that again? I don't know.
No, that's fine.
It's different when you're being recorded.
So it shouldn't be. And can you tell me about the time when Mr. Brown gave you the photo, just your reaction and maybe how?
Oh, yeah. So it was something that I didn't realize he had up there on his wall until after maybe my first year of working here. And I think a student had mentioned it to me. And I went in and checked it out. And obviously it meant a lot to me to see that particular photo of, the four of us, just sort of proud advisees, and this wonderful man, that photo was important to him. He was obviously really very important to us. So it means a lot that it was also important to him. So when he was cleaning up, sort of a sad moment for me, to see him sort of cleaning up his classroom, and, he just sort of said, "Oh, hey," and just very sort of nonchalantly, just the way that he does things without any sort of fanfare or any, he just very calmly just says, hey, would you like this? Or you can have this. And obviously, I said yes. I mean, of course. And then I brought it back to the classroom across the hall from his, and I promptly took down something on the bulletin board that meant nothing to me and put the picture up in its place.
And just to give everyone a sense of just how long Mr. Brown has been at St. Andrew's School, Will Robb and Mr. Brown had this realization while looking at the photo.
And we were realizing as we looked at that photo that I'm older now than, I'm sorry, Will Robinson is older now than I was in that photo.
Huh.
So that was the sort of, he was actually in the room and as I gave him this photo to remember that moment, because I had a fun time looking at it and I passed it on to him.
And as Will Robb mentioned earlier, Mr. Brown treated this interaction, giving the photo to Will Robb, as an everyday occurrence. But for Will Robinson, he articulated just how special that was for him. Mr. Brown says that you guys had this realization that you're older than he was
in the photo now. Yes. So I thought he was ancient. When we took that photo and I looked up to him, you know, I mean, actually physically, but also, you know, just in every other way. I
thought of him as ancient. You know, I thought of him as like a 50-year-old.
But he was actually only, I mean, he was younger, a lot younger than I am now. He was only 33, 34 maybe, somewhere in that ballpark. But he just had this sort of maturity about him. You know, he had, you know, his wonderful wife and two little kids who are younger than... than Liam and Luke are. They were younger at that time. They were maybe like 4 and 2 or whatever it might be. They were little, I mean, just toddlers. So it's sort of crazy to think about how time works here. It's here at school. It doesn't make sense a lot of times. So I still think of him as, I actually think of him as ageless. Like, I don't think of him now as any older than he was then. Like, I think of him as just sort of this perpetual sort of like wise, incredibly fit 50-year-old man who it just felt good to be around.
As Mr. Brown went on talking about cleaning up and going through old pictures as he started to pack up his house, we realized that Will Robinson was not the only faculty member in a photo that he had. Mr. Porter was also in a photo. And while Will Robb thought that Mr. Brown was frozen in time, Mr. Porter actually appreciated the opposite.
When I was away from here and not working here, like when I had graduated college and then was teaching other places, I really thought that I wanted this place to stay exactly the same as it was in my memory. And like the thought of things changing always made me sad when I would hear about people, like my teachers from when I was a student, if they would go on somewhere else, I was like always really sad about it. But, and I think it's kind of a strange thing. They're like, we want to have our, like, people who are important in our lives, like, cryogenically frozen, like, in the place where they impacted us.
Yeah.
But since I've been back and I've gotten to know him and, like, worked with him, I feel really differently about it. I think that now I'm, like, excited for him, and I can see how having been here, basically, like, this is the only job he's had, but, like, it would be really exciting for him to go somewhere else and, like, have these new experiences. And so I am, like, sad that he's leaving because he's my friend, but I'm not sad, like, for other reasons other than that. I'm going to miss him.
Where Will Robinson would like to think that Mr. Brown is timeless and look up to that, Mr. Brown actually admitted and fondly talked about how he was a completely different person before SAS and even when he first started.
I was arriving out of college, young, single. This was just a great thing. I had a bed in a bedroom. I had a job. I was going to have a salary, very small salary. I was going to have free food, and this was all really good, and I was going to do this for a year or two and then go on to something else. That was the plan. So that plan, of course, changed.
We should all be grateful to Mr. Brown that he ended up staying at St. Andrews and making that decision and being here for 30 years as he did, because while he was here, he guided and impacted many students, Will Robinson being one of them.
I mean, that bond... You know, that bond that we had, it's not a memory, but it's just that feeling. You feel like, I mean, frankly, you feel like you're part of, you know, you feel like you're part of something special. So that if, I mean, it seems bizarre, but, you know, with Simon and with Payne and Amal,
it's like, it's just that he had the, you know, he just has the ability to bring, you know, people together. He's sort of like a center of a universe here in the history of St. Andrews, where you have people, you know, if I run into somebody on the street and we talk about Lindsey Brown and the person says, oh, he was my advisor, I say, you know, oh my God, you know, he was my advisor too. And that you're just like, boom. And then there's this sort of this instant feeling that you're part of some sort of just like really kick ass, like secret society, you know. You know, just fortunate, you know, just really fortunate to have done that. I mean, I went back, I just like really foolishly went back and I read my file. So everybody here has, you know, like has a file. And so I read my file and it includes all of these beautiful letters that he wrote that were completely spot on. So like, hey, Will seems like a good guy. He's sort of struggling to figure out his priorities. He has a girlfriend he probably pays too much attention to, and some friends he probably pays too much attention to, and not enough, you know, at the expense of his work, and so on and so forth. And just, just one of those things where he's such a rare being that he is so good with young people, so good probably, you know, with everyone. And, you know, when you think about, and that sort of, that's what I mean about you feel a special bond with other people who have had the benefit and the privilege of sort of being an advisee of his. So that's sort of how it goes. I mean, I can share one memory.
And in addition to being Mr. Robinson's advisor, Mr. Brown was also his math and history teacher. And Will Robb mentioned many times in our interview how Mr. Brown never got angry with him despite his angering actions. However, even though that was rare, Mr. Brown did get angry.
The only time I've ever seen him really, really mad was when was because of me. I haven't seen him like that mad since. But we also like had some like funny times too. This kid Ben Kennedy, who's 2 years behind me, he's a sophomore in the first boat, and he decided that he wanted to do an April Fool's Day prank on the girls' team. And so we went down to the boathouse during study hall, and we got the girls' eight down, and we re-rigged it so that it was starboard stroked instead of port stroked, and we turned all the seats around backwards. And so the next day afternoon, we launched before them, and we were all kind of giggling, and it was kind of raining, and we were just out in the water just laughing at like what we thought was going to happen. The girls got the boat down. We saw them, like, just before we went around the corner, we saw them put the boat in the water, and, like, they went and got the oars. And so, like, it was, the prank was going perfectly because we wanted them to get in the boat and be like, what's happening? And that's exactly what happened. But, like, we got down to the end of the pond, and we hadn't seen anybody behind us yet, and we were still kind of giggling, and Mr. Brown came up to us in the launch and they said something like, it's a great day, and kind of introduced what we were going to do with the practice. And then we heard this like, wee, and we like, all of a sudden, I think we all realized at the same second that we were in like the most trouble we'd ever been in our lives. That Brad Bates came flying down the pond in his boat, just like full speed right at us, and pulled up next to Lindsey, just Mr. Brown,
yeah,
and like said something to him, and then just like turned around and went back full speed to the boathouse. And we were just like, oh God. And so he just turned to us and was just like so furious. He was so mad. And I was the captain of the team then. And we had just like turned back and rowed back to the boathouse and had to go up and do a 2K test, like right on the spot. He was really mad. And we had thought like that we weren't going to get caught. We thought like, that they wouldn't know who done it, like as if the baseball team was going to get like the boat down and re-rig it on April Fools. But then there were also lots of like funny things. I mean, we're like by the end of the season, we could make him laugh about it. We were like making jokes about it, and I think he always thought that the seniors had done it, but it was like these like goody two shoes sophomores that came up with the idea.
And despite Mr. Porter and Mr. Robinson seeing Mr. Brown in different lights and even appreciating different things about him, he still impacted their lives greatly, especially to this day. For Mr. Porter, it was in the form of a crew memory.
One of the things that I think about a lot, particularly when I came back, my first year was when he had the crew that went to Henley in 2011, and my senior year, I'd been on the team for 4 years, and we had a pretty good. My sophomore year, we were okay. My junior year, we were really not that fast. We didn't make the finals, and then my senior year again, we were pretty good, and we were sort of like talking about going to Henley, and like we kind of hit the benchmarks in camp, and we were really excited, and then. Things just sort of like unraveled a little bit, and he said, "Well, his rule always was that you have to get a medal at Stotesbury in order to go, to book your flights for Henley, in order to warrant going." And I think we got fourth at Stotes, just by like a little bit, and we thought we were like really close, and I think we also kind of thought that like that was going to be close enough that like he would kind of cave because he really wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And then at Nationals we got fourth again, and he said like he just said, "Yeah, we're not going to go. You didn't get a medal," and I was like kind of disappointed, but I never felt like he was to blame, and I was always kind of grateful that he didn't cave. That he didn't cut that corner, because I'm sure he wanted to go. I'm sure he really wanted to go. I don't think he hadn't been yet as a head coach. I think Dave Washburn had gone pretty recently, like in the early 90s, and this was in the mid 90s, and he had a good crew. I think we would have probably done fine, but he had said, like, you have to be in the top three in this race in order to warrant it, and then kind of held us to it. And I think that really... it was like an important lesson. I think it was probably harder for him than it was for us, but he kind of needed to do that to make a point. And then the next year they did go, and they did, like, I think he needed to have that for those younger guys to see that they really weren't fooling around, or he wasn't really fooling around. Like, you really had to do those things, and then it was possible. We were close enough that they could see that it was possible the next year to do that. And I think that's something that I think is kind of rare about him. It's like that really doing what you said you were going to do and really sticking to it. It seems so simple and so basic, but it's really hard to do that, you know, to like not compromise.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he does. You know, we're not all like, rowing isn't like the most important thing in our lives for the guys in my class or the people who come afterwards, but that's always a lesson. It's like to do what you said you're going to do. I really would have loved to go to Henley, though. Yeah.
Well, for Will Robinson, it's the way that he deals with his advisory.
For me, it's just about really is pushing kids to be their best, really wanting kids to be able to be their best. I'll never be Lindsey Brown for a million reasons, but we're also just very different people. And one of the things I loved and respected about him is he didn't try to push me to be a certain mold. He tried to push me to be my best. So all those four guys in that photo were all so different, incredibly different. So he had different approaches. He had different you know, different expectations. But the thing that was the same is that you knew that he loved you. You knew that he cared about you, and you wanted to make him proud. It's a special thing, and he's the one who taught me that. You know that those four guys were sort of we weren't all best friends with each other, but we had that sort of common bond, and that common bond was our sort of deep affection and appreciation for Lindsey Brown.
And knowing that Mr. Brown was at St. Andrews for 30 years, these are only two of the many lives he has impacted. He has been known differently in different places, and he will be known differently in the place that he is going. But he has learned along the way that that's actually not something to be afraid of.
All through high school and in high school, my identity was as a student. I was a nerdy, geeky, non-athletic person with size 14 feet who would trip a lot and fall down. You know, I couldn't catch a moving ball. I couldn't kick something. I think I talked about maybe with this with Luke a little bit. I just was not an athlete.
Absolutely.
And then I went off to college, and I sort of established this identity as a rower, and then accentuated that with going to the Olympics. And at St. Andrews, I think in those first years, people looked at me like, wow, you just came back from the Olympics. That's pretty cool. And over the last years that I've been here, a lot of students, I don't think, even know that I was in the Olympics. And I've had students, seniors, who I've known for 4 years in their senior year, say, wait, you were in the Olympics? I never knew that. So, you know, that's just not necessarily part of who I am here right now. It was interesting going back to my high school as an Olympian, because people there saw me as a spastic, nerdy geek, and now I was walking in with USA Olympic gear on, and it was a real cognitive disconnect for them. They had a hard time sort of figuring that one out. That was sort of fun. I actually had fun with that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I think it just goes to show who you are now, maybe who you continue to be, but you just never know at this age. You just never know where you're going to go and where your life path is going to lead you and what great things you're going to do. So you should never feel like you're pigeonholed at age 15, 16, 17 to just being one thing. You have so many opportunities ahead of you, and maybe opportunities that you don't even know you have in front of you at this point. So just enjoy who you are now, because, you know, you can always continue to explore new areas of life out ahead.